You come, you don't get a food. And there are a lot of people who have the tendency to just say, yeah, I'll come, and they don't even say it. So make an RSVP. All of you are invited. Turn your Bible with me, chapter 7 of Book of Mark. If you don't have a Bible, would you raise your hand, please? Okay. How many times you come here? No, him. Robert. Anyone else? You need a Bible here. Chapter 7, verse 31. Mark chapter 7, verse 31. This morning's teaching title is, Who Do You Say That Jesus Is? Depends on whom you ask about identity of Jesus Christ. You will get a wide spectrum of answers about identity of Jesus Christ. Let's start with a few. Number one, Jesus wasn't just a good teacher. People who have no idea what they're talking about would answer this kind of question. And the second one, Jesus is not God. Before he lived on earth, he was Michael the Archangel by Jehovah's Witness. They will say Jesus is the Savior of the world, but they will say, if you ask, is Jesus God? They will say no. They will say Jesus was a former archangel. Next one, Jesus separate God from the Father, Elohim, and he was created as a spirit child by Father and Mother in heaven. That's a Mormonism doctrine. However, their Mormonism doctrine has showed a flaw already. Elohim, in Hebrew word, is a plural, more than one person. It cannot just pinpoint to the Father alone. It's more than one God. We have a Trinity, three gods, one God, three persons and one God. How can it be? That's why he's God, we are not. Next one, please. Jesus was not Christ, but the man who displayed Christ's idea, Christian Science. Those who are involved in the Christian Science are like a Tom Cruise. Huh? And a lot of Hollywood actors and actresses. Next one. Jesus is not one true God. He is not Savior, a spiritual model, and guru, and is now ascended master. New Age movement people. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. They are in a la-la land. Next one. Jesus is one of the most respected, over 124,000 prophets sent by Allah. Jesus was a sinless, born of a virgin, and a great miracle worker, and not the Son of God. Jesus is not God. Islam. And next one. Jesus is God. But his way is not the only way to get to heaven. Just being a good person will do. Another group of people who does not know what they're talking about. Don't know the truth. So, who do you say that Jesus is? Depends on how you answer. It will make a heaven and hell difference. If Jesus is the Savior of the world, he for this fallen world, and he is the God of the universe, your destiny is into heaven. If he is just another one of those answers that we just saw, your destination is not heaven. There's another place. It's not pleasant. Very unpleasant. Depends on what you believe. Depends on how you believe. Eternal future will be changed radically. This morning, we are going to see what Jesus says about himself. Let's start at the verse 31 of chapter 7, and we will pray. Heavenly Father, it is our desire to know you more, know your Son, our Savior and Lord. And it is our desire to follow him every way, all of our lives. We don't want to turn to right or turn to left, but we want to follow him. We want to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. That is our desire. If there is anyone who does not know you, you speak to them today, right now. So they may not walk out the door without knowing you. And we also pray for our troops around the world. And we're asking you, safe, your hand to be upon them, keep them safe. And we also pray for our law enforcement and the firefighters around this community. As a matter of fact, we're praying for the Meryl Simon, who is fighting against, doing the control burn in the wilderness. We're asking you to keep him safe and his troops safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 31. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of the Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. They begged him to put his hands on him. He took him aside from the multitude. He put his finger in his ears. He spat and touched his tongue. Then he, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed. He spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. They were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes both deaf to hear and mute to speak." Region of Decapolis, which means 10 cities. Would you put the map up? Thank you. There are 10 cities. Only cities that I can find now, because some of the cities no longer existing, is Bethsaida, there, Ephesus, and Gadara, and this one, which I cannot pronounce. So you try to do that when you have time. These 10 cities are in the Gentile territory. They are not all Jewish people, and there are a lot of them is a Gentile. Jesus used many different ways to heal people. Jesus used the word to heal people, or sometimes he didn't even bother to use the word. He just did a different way. And also he used the people's faith, the one who is sick, and also he used somebody else's faith. So it has nothing to do with one particular person's faith. And also he healed the person who came to him, and he healed the person as he approached. Why did he not use any particular way? Because he didn't want any people to come up with any formula and come up with some sort of ritual or known on, quote-unquote, you know, Jesus, having Jesus in the box. Jesus cannot be in the box because he is God. He will do whatever he chooses to do, and he is beyond our comprehension. To this deaf and mute person, Jesus is heaven-sent healer. Let's continue the next verse. Verse 1 of chapter 8. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to eat and said to them, "I have a compassion on the multitude because they have a few and now continued with me 3 days. Note that place for 3 days. Have nothing to eat, and if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar." Then his disciple answered him, "How can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, 7. Like you can just imagine their answering very proudly, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, and he said to set them also before them. So they ate and were filled. They took up the 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Those who are trying to find the contradiction in the Bible, they will say, well, this is just a duplicate of what he did in previously, feeding 5,000. When you look at it carefully, this is rather simple to find. It's a two different occasions. two different incidents. Let's compare it. First miracle and the second miracle. First one is happened in Galilee near Bethsaida. Second one is happened in Decapolis. First one was mainly for the Jews. Second one is for the Gentiles. And the first one was Jesus had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Second one, how many loaves? He had 7 and he had a few fish. The first one had 5,000 people one day. For second miracle, he had 4,000 people plus and for 3 days. So when we know this, it's obvious it's a 2 different location. And what was the leftover? First one was 12 baskets full of fragments. Second one was 7 large baskets full of fragments. How can they be the same thing? Of course, Jesus will clearly explain to us and in a little bit later in chapter verse 16 through 21. We'll go there. It's easy for us to criticize these disciples. How can they forget that incident already? Let me ask you this. When the bills start stacking on your desk, and you have very little money to go around, don't look at me like you never think that kind of thing. I do. And you're thinking, how are we going to pay this bill? We all of a sudden forget about how God faithfully met our need in the past, but start to worry about the future. We would be in the same sandals as this disciple were if we were there. To these 4,000 people, Jesus was the one who told the truth and filled this hungry tummy. Let's continue in verse 10. Immediately got into the boat with his disciple, came to the region of Dalmanutha. Then the Pharisee came out and began to dispute with him and seeking from him a sign from heaven. Note that, sign from heaven. Testing him, but he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. Jesus and his disciple crossed the Sea of Galilee again now to the west side. And when they arrived, of course, the Pharisee came up to them. And this is the same Pharisees who were upset with Jesus because the indictment that Jesus made against them, their hypocrisy. They don't want these earthly miracles, you know, like healing people and bring up feeding the 4,000 people, 5,000 people. That's not good enough for them. For them, the real sign should be a sign from heaven. What kind of sign would that be? Like a manna from heaven or the fire from heaven to fry them crispy, extra crispy? That would be nice, but that's what they want. Jesus is telling them that's not going to happen. The Pharisees desire to see the sign. That's another evidence of unbelief. True faith, listen carefully, please. True faith does not ask for signs. I'm going to repeat it one more time. True faith does not ask for signs. Miracles and signs will follow those who believe. Miracle and signs are the result of God's response to our faith in Him. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, verse 17, please. True faith takes God at His word with unseen witness from the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 and 17. Mark chapter 16, yes. It says, and these signs will follow. It doesn't say it will lead. It will follow those who believe. Let's go to one more verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews is located in the way in the back of the Old and New Testament, right before James. Of course, that chapter 11 known as the whole chapter of the Hall of Faith. Chapter 11, verse 1. This is a great verse to memorize. Keep it in your heart, please. Now, the faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of the things unseen. Faith is not faith if you can see. Faith is not a faith if you can see. Faith goes in when it's not. It cannot be seen. Can you hear me up there? Jay, can you hear me? Okay. So when it comes to the faith, I don't think it's all right. When it comes to miracle and signs, who can have a better, more miracle than anyone else than those people who came out of from the Egypt? These people, think with me, when they left Egypt, Red Sea part, and 2 million people went across overnight. And if that's not enough, the people who followed, chased them, all the Egyptian troops was buried under the deep sea water. And when they start to complain about the food, God sent them manna from the heaven. And God led them with the pillar of the fire at night, give them light, biggest in the night light. And then during the daytime, give them a pillar of cloud for the shade. Their sandals and clothes never worn out for 40 years. If that's not enough miracles and the signs, I don't know what that is. Those people had it day in, day out for 40 years. But none of them went into the promised land. Why? Because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. Out of 2 million people, two people went in, two godly people. So, in other words, seeing the miracles and signs does not guarantee our faith. You see, we all excited about the miracles. We love to see miracles. And we see, when we hear about the miracles done by God, we are all excited. You know what the biggest miracle is? When the lost soul come to Christ. That happened in this church frequently. So you see that, and then you say, well, that's nothing. Just person gets saved. Think about it. Detouring a man who is about to go to hell, and now he is heaven bound. And you are the example. I am the example. If this is not a miracle, what is it? These Pharisees, to these Pharisees, Jesus is nothing but a troublemaker. He needs to be eliminated for their convenience sake. Verse 13. And he left them and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take the bread and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them saying, take heed and be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying that it is because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said to him, 12. Again, very confidently. Also, when I broke the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, how is that do you not understand? And they said, duh. The leaven is not a simply yeast. It's a small portion, a pinch of the leftover dough from the previous bread before they bake it. And they mix that with the new lump. And that little pinch of dough from the previous bread will spread out all over this brand new bread and rise up and puff up. In the Bible, This leaven is always present in the illustration of sin and false doctrine. See, we can never be careful to distinguish and detect and avoid false doctrine. Only small deviation from the Word of God requires. Let me put it this way. Satan is no dummy. He will not give you flat-out lies, 100% lies, because you will not buy it, you will walk away from it. He knows it. So what does he do? He put a little pinch of lie and mix with a lot of truth. And pretty soon, that person at church will be deceived, go into false doctrine. Good example is would be psychosensitive church. You heard of what the psychosensitive church is. I'm against them. It's not because what they teach. I'm against them because what they don't teach. They don't call sin, sin. They try to make this their congregation feel good about themselves. Let's face it. We are wicked sinners, saved by the grace of God. We need His help. We need His mercy every day because we sin against Him every day. Let's continue in verse 22. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hand on him, he asked him if he saw anything. He looked up and said, I see man like a tree is walking. Then he put his hand on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in town. As I said, Jesus has such many unique ways of healing people. Can you imagine Jesus this blind man hearing Jesus clearing his throat? And then, I thought, okay, what is going to do with that? Verse 27. Now Jesus and his disciple went out to the town of Caesarea Philippi. On the road, he asked his disciples, saying to them, who the men say that I am? So they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others, one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. Then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed. After 3 days, will rise again. Jesus selected Caesarea Philippi for the next teaching place. It's 25 miles from Bethsaida, which is the northern portion of the Sea of Galilee. From here to Caesarea Philippi is the foot of the Mountain Hermon, beautiful Mountain Hermon, about 6,500 feet above sea level. He was teaching, asking them about who Jesus is. This place, Caesarea Philippi, has a marble temple dedicated to Augustus Caesar. The reason why they call it Caesarea Philippi is because the city is dedicated to Augustus Caesar and Herod Philip. When you look at this rendering, you will see these two temples, marble temples, built for under the honor of this Augustus Caesar. But however, this glory of Rome is gone. But now, the glory of Jesus is still remain. When we go to the Caesarea Philippi, this is what's remain. See, it's still that big cave. But this is a tourist place, especially those who visit the Holy Land, go there and seek the glory of God. Jesus was much more than miracle worker. Jesus was much more than national reformer. Jesus was much more than John the Baptist. Jesus was much more than Elijah or some prophet. Jesus asked the disciple. So who do the people say that I am? Then he asked them, who do you say that I am? Our confession concerning Jesus will make a tremendous difference, as I said before. What is the Christ? Is it Christ the last name of Jesus? No. Christ means anointed one, the appointed one, the promised Messiah. So is Jesus Christ Messiah to you? Or is he just another teacher as we heard before? In the Caesarea Philippi, at that hidden temple we just saw, people would go in, say they pinched the incense into the furnace, and they would say, Caesar is Lord. But that would not give them eternal life. Their sins not forgiven. But if we say Jesus is Lord with all of our heart and mind and soul, our sins will be forgiven. Peter's confession was bold and uncompromising. So, what's your confession? Depends on that, your eternal destination is changed, will be changed. Verse 32. He spoke this word openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciple, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. It's easy for us to laugh at Peter or even mock at him. But let's not. Remember, Peter and the disciples still ignorant at this point because they couldn't understand how the relationship between cross and the crown. All they know is to think about it is, I followed this man for 3 years, and now he's going to die. That's unfathomable. He cannot, the devil wants us to believe that the suffering should not go through. We shouldn't go through sufferings. But Jesus said, suffer for his glory, for his sake. Peter's process that was born out of love for Jesus and because of his ignorance. 1 minute Peter was a rock. Next moment he was a stumbling block. Verse 34. And he had called the people to himself and his disciple also. He said to them, Whoever desired to come after me, number one, let him deny himself. And take up his cross. And that's number two. Number three, follow me. For whatever desire to save his life will lose. And whatever lose his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And for whoever is ashamed of me and my word in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in glory of his Father with holy angels. So Jesus laid down three conditions to be the disciple of Jesus Christ. Number one is we must surrender ourselves completely to him. We cannot have two masters in our heart, either Jesus or no one else. Second one would be, we must identify with him and in suffering and death. Fellowship of suffering and knowing the power of the resurrection. Third would be, we must follow him obediently wherever he leads. Not by our choice, by his choice. That's being obedient servant. Denying self is not the same as a self-denial and you would find in Buddhism. Denying ourselves is ignoring what we want, but accepting what God wants. Jesus said, follow him. It's no longer what we want. We can have a lot of things we want. Oh, yeah, I have a wish list that goes a long way. Is that what God wants? Ask Him. Instead of trying to twist God's arms, ask Him what He wants. You cannot ask Him what He wants and try to follow Him unless you first said Jesus is Lord in your heart. So I have a challenge for you. By the way, before I go into the challenge, what is the reward for those who say Jesus is Lord? Number one, we'll be His children. We'll be His followers. We'll be in heaven when we die. Number two, He said He will share His glory with us later. And He will not be ashamed of us. So I have a challenge for you. Who is Jesus to you? If Jesus is your Messiah, Savior, Lord, and the Lord and the God of the universe, God bless you. Let His power strengthen you with the daily walk with Christ. If He is your Savior, but He is not your Lord, there's a difference. As I explained to you before, that means you have not yielded yourself completely. That means you have not denied yourself completely. That means you have not picked up your cross completely. That means you are not following Christ completely. Then I have a question to ask you. Why not? What is holding you back from following Him with all your heart and mind and soul? Is it because of pride? Is it because of your carnal desire? Is it because people around you, what might they say to you? Are you ashamed of Jesus Christ? I hope not. For those who don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, you cannot say Jesus is the Lord. You might be able to say that with your mouth, but your heart does not say. If your heart does not say that, you're hell-bound. I cannot make anything more, I cannot but beautify that way. Bottom line is, you're hell-bound. If you don't have Jesus Christ into your heart, your choice. God will not force you to go to heaven. So I'm going to ask you to think about it. Let's stand up and pray. As we saw the comment, being a good person will not make you to go to heaven. Because God's standard is far higher. If you committed a sin even once, one lie, one cheating, one glance of lustful eyes, one hateful thought, it's bad enough for us to be in heaven, in hell. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, stop thinking about what other people might say to you, but think about what Jesus would say to you. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head. Don't look around. If you don't know Jesus Christ, please don't walk out the door without knowing Him and having Him into your heart. So if you don't know Jesus Christ and you like to receive Him into your heart, raise your hand. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We admit that we are sinners, forgiven by grace of God. We are glad that Your mercy and grace extended toward us and find us in Your sight. We are asking you to speak to our heart throughout the days this week. Empower us to that we may represent you properly and bring glory to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing one more song before we go.
Bless you. If you'd like prayer, please come forward. There's plenty of time for us to pray for you. And God bless you. Have a great week.